Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
I remember last story Sunday, a young guy was coming in our community, and I was telling him what was happening that day. And he said, "I love Story Sunday." And I thought, "I do too." It's one of my favorite Sundays that we have. It's actually a really important part of our community life. You know, we study the Word together week by week and learn and understand and have our minds opened. And then we take a Sunday to actually put flesh on what we have studied. We share what this truth has looked like in our own everyday lives. We kind of take concepts and actually see what it looks like lived out. We share from our triumphs for sure, but we also share from our failures and how God's ongoing grace is bringing us through. And I love the vulnerability of Story Sunday because it's not always about how we've got it together, but how God is helping us as we walk through life. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite quotes of his is this: "Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'" And I feel like that's what happens on Story Sunday, because we see our own stories when we listen to others. So here we are again. For the last month, we have looked at Luke chapter 24, where Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection. And we talked about those few responses that they have all at once. They are met first with a shock, and it's because he was dead, and now he's alive. And there's some fear there because he isn't acting as they had anticipated. It also, the scripture also says that they were filled with joy. Here they thought the story was over, and we talked a bit about that last week. And then Jesus surprises them, and they were absolutely overjoyed by it. They also have a moment of wonder. They have a God moment. A miracle where he actually gets their attention, their minds are opened, and then he sends them out. The resurrected Jesus is not a historical figure, but he continues to reveal himself to us today. He is a person to be known. He is a person to be experienced. He's not just a set of beliefs, but he reveals himself in surprising ways, and it is always an invitation to explore him further. So today we share stories that are shocking and joyful and wondrous, stories of the work of Jesus in our lives. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your truth that you give to us. We thank you for scripture that guides us, that helps us to understand more clearly who you are and also who we are in relation to you. And so, God, we just thank you that that it isn't dry, but it is actually living and breathing. And Lord, we thank you for our storytellers this morning. God, we just pray that you would just come alongside them and that they would experience you as they share what you're doing in their lives. Holy Spirit, take their words, be our teacher, challenge us with their words, increase our faith, and help us to recognize your work in our lives as well. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I invite Zeke to come on up. He's our first one. Everyone, yay! Anyway, it's good to have you.
Good morning. Nice to see that not everybody went camping this weekend. I know we normally go, but this Sunday we didn't. My name's Zeke, and we have been coming to Living Waters here now for about 6-7 months. I think we came here in September of last year was our first time. And we have had the opportunity to be at Doug and Linda's house for the newcomers group, 5-week program. So we've had a chance to meet a few people, but we'd like to meet more. And we really love Living Waters because it is a nice community church. It's small, friendly, and very family-like. So here's my story. I hope that we can all maybe get a little bit of an encouragement out of it to see what God can do in our lives. and a little bit of hope for the lost. Born in Canada, one of five. I was number four on the list. I have a brother and three sisters. My father has passed away. My mother's still alive, 88 years old. And she was a prayer warrior in the house. But I did grow up in a family that really demonstrated no Christianity. And my father's role model wasn't, I don't know, when I look at it, not the ideal father, because he was a career criminal. And so I learned a lot from him, both good and bad. Anyways, the first 10 years of my life, we lived in Mexico in a Mennonite community. Moved to Paraguay after that, and had lots of experiences as a kid, you know, learning little things about the bush and camping and just life in general. And moved around quite a bit. We had to, because needed to have new tracks for my dad. And my life kind of, it was good. I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't good in a sense, in a godly way. I just learned a lot. And came back to Canada when I was 12 years old and had to learn English, which was hard. And when you are a foreigner in this country, you're not really well accepted with the kids around you. So at a very early age, I became very aggressive. Probably. Just wanting to protect yourself, right? So anyways, that carried on into becoming a person with, say, a lot of anger and bitterness and running from God. Had many opportunities where people would come up to me and ask me about God, whatever, but I always pushed them off to the side because I looked at Christianity as a weakness. I didn't see God in it whatsoever. And I didn't understand it because I heard about Jesus, I heard about God, but I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. And I did finish high school and college just barely. But I did, like so many of us, fall into the scene of massive drug abuse and alcohol abuse and, you know, for us guys, just chasing the ladies. And that was kind of the norm. But I don't want to focus too much on the bad stuff here, but I'm going to tell you one little story just to kind of give you an idea of how things were without God and then how it transformed. I was working in a mine in northern Ontario, and my dad was working there, who barely ever lived with us, but I wanted to work with him for a year so I could just hang out with him. And in that time, I had I was working underground, and we worked with a lot of explosives. And being a young guy, 20 years old, I thought it would be really neat if I could do some explosive work myself. So I went and stole a box of dynamite, 50 sticks, all the caps, fuses, and everything. And I got together with three younger guys, and we went around just blowing up cars all over the place. And that was like such a cool thing for us to do. And to be, I don't know, funny, whatever, on Halloween night, me and my buddies, we went and took a truck right behind a police station. And I loaded it with five sticks and just blew up the whole entire thing. And living in a small community, everybody heard it, of course. And sure enough, 3 days later, we got busted. And I was in jail again, probably for my 20th time, and that carried on for until I was 30 years old. And sure, I met a lady and got married at 30. That lasted about 7 years, and it all went sour, south, bad, really bad. And at that point in my life, I was 37 years old now. Everything I had ever done and accomplished went straight out the door. And I was really, really wealthy. And that went with the package because I was a money chaser and I knew how to get it, but it all went out. So I started searching and to see if there was more to life than what I was doing. And I got into a little bit of the new agey stuff of, you know, everything is cool, normal, just whatever you do, just have a positive attitude. And that didn't take me very far. So God took me from Ontario, where I was living, to Alberta. And I started attending a Pentecostal church in Calgary. And it took 6 months before I started to realize that I was supposed to be there for the sermon, not just for looking at the girls and that. And there was an altar call every Sunday. And I always felt, I don't know, too scared, too proud, too whatever, to say, yeah, here I am, God. But one morning, there was an altar call, and it was the first time I experienced the Holy Spirit. My mouth is getting dry over here. Sorry. No, it's okay. It's okay, yeah. So anyways, I felt that I needed to go up and say, yes, God, here I am. I want to live for you. And I said, oh, no, I can't do that. So I stayed sitting down, and again it came to me, and I said no, and it happened a third time. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on over here? And I literally just jumped up and went up to the front, and it was the day my heart was transformed from stone heart, from a heart of stone to saying, God, here I am. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit wanted to do in my life at that point was to heal my heart from all the brokenness and from all the bad things that had happened in my life. And it was happening gradually. And right away, God directed me into missions. And I was working with the PAOC church on outreaches for homeless people. And I could relate to them really, really well. And after 3 years, I think we had our first two or three converts, not too many. But right after that, thank you. I really appreciate that. Right after that, they asked me if I wanted to do a missions course, which was a one-year program. And I said, sure, I would love to do that. And I did. And as soon as that was finished, or for the intern, I went to Africa, to Nigeria, helping to build a school and an orphanage and many things. In 3 months, you don't have a lot of time, but we worked really hard. And in that time, I had an opportunity to do a whole bunch of evangelism. And it went really well. It went really, really well. And the Holy Spirit just took care of everything. You know, there was nothing on our own that we could do to make a difference, but the Spirit was always there helping us. And as soon as I came back, I was gung-ho, let's go, save the world all in one day, right? And we know we can't do it ourselves. So I went to Malawi to work with Chris and Heather Brooks, for those of you who know them, with Lifeline Malawi, just building a missions home, a couple of schools, and we built nurses' homes. And during that time, we were running out of bricks for building, and I only wanted to buy from Christian people who were selling the bricks. We couldn't find a Christian person that was selling bricks. So we went to a Muslim family, and they asked us about, what are you doing? I shared with them the testimony first, my own personal testimony, and what Lifeline Malawi was doing, and for helping the people with AIDS and just sicknesses. And the man became so interested in the story that he said, I want to accept the Jesus that you're following. I says, great. He says, well, wait a minute. This took an hour, maybe an hour and a half. He goes, I want my wife and my children to get salvation at the same time. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. This is like being there 2 weeks. And definitely I couldn't do it on my own. Then he says, wait a minute, I have a sister who just got divorced. She's got six kids. Let's get them all saved, right? So we had 17 people. And it totally busted me up. I was happy, really happy, but I was like the most broken guy ever. Then I went home, and I told Chris and Heather the news, and they're like, whoa, right now. We had a gardener working for us that night. I just went and sat down with him. 2 hours later, bang, saved, eh? So the transformation that God was taking from my old life and changing it over to, you know, being explosive for something else was absolutely incredible. Today, we are, my wife and I, we're still involved in missions. We're in Canada right now just to get our paperwork done so that we can work out of one embassy rather than two different ones. And we really enjoy being here at Living Waters and having this opportunity just to share our stories. And we actually really love hearing stories from all of you, and we appreciate this time here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. You know, it makes me think that when we meet people that are struggling, like that we need to respond to them in compassion, right? They're struggling to find their way in the world, and God can use and turn our lives around and transform us. The other thing, Zeke, that you said, that moment where you are in Calgary and the Holy Spirit is asking you to respond to Jesus and you say no, but you said yes. And then it opened up this incredible new life that we're invited into. And I'm so glad you said yes. And it makes me think how many of us are in our hearts saying no. And what is on the other side of a yes? Incredible. Sarah, why don't you come up? Now, Sarah makes me coffee at Starbucks, and I always feel that little extra bit of love in the cup. She's often at the drive-thru at Walnut Grove, Shoppers, Starbucks. Anyway, we're glad you're here.
Yeah. Hello. I'm really excited to be here today and share my story of how I came to know Christ. So some of you may know me, and for some of you I may seem like a new face. My name is Sarah, and I'm 23 years old. And I attend Trinity Western University. I'm studying education, international studies, and teaching English as a second language. It's kind of all going in there somehow. I don't know. They know. Anyways, I moved from Alberta, and I currently live in Fort Langley. I have been going to Living Waters for over a year now, and I'm really blessed to call this community my home. And yeah, so I've currently been a Christian for 4 years now. I was born into a single parent home to a loving mother and two adoring grandparents. We were not Christians, and we did not follow God's word. And upon becoming pregnant, she knew that my biological father was not a stable man to have around. And so I've never met my biological father or my dad. But he contacted me for the first time last year, which is great. And I don't know. I'm still unsure whether or not I'll meet him or not. But anyways. So starting out, I lived with my grandparents, who were the steady foundations in my life. They held us together, and they showed me an abundance of love. My grandparents would care for me in the day while my mom was out teaching, and they were wonderful people. They picked me up from school and helped me with my homework and, cooked me dinner and later on taught me how to drive and took me different places. So I was really blessed by them. When I was 5 years old, my mom got married for the first time. And like any child, I was happy to have a father and to belong to a family. We moved into a bigger house, we got a dog, and when I was 8, my mom had my baby sister. And so things looked pretty perfect, but they were far from it. As a family, we infrequently attended church, and God was something that we didn't talk about. God and Christianity, to me, seemed like a myth, and religion was just, it seemed like just religion and empty and detached from the heart. And when I was 12, my mom and my stepdad's marriage fell apart. And that time in my life was pretty difficult and painful. But through the separation, my stepdad only wanted to see his biological daughter, my sister. And that was pretty difficult to belong to a family and then have everything just kind of taken away. And it was really difficult. My mom decided it was best for me to attend counseling. And there they diagnosed me with depression and put me on medication to balance my moods and, well, to hopefully improve them. But a few years later, when I was 14, so 2 years later, my grandma passed away from kidney failure. And I look back on it now, and I can see how God had met me through that. But at the time, I just fell into just further darkness. It was a really difficult time to lose just my stable foundation, my family. And after that, my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer, and he was slowly deteriorating, and it was just difficult because the ones that looked after me, I now had to help take care of, and it just seemed really hopeless and really difficult. And my mom was trying to do the best that she could to care for my sister and I and my family, but this caused her to work a lot, and then she was frequently away, and I found myself alone. So in my loneliness, I turned to drugs and I turned to alcohol and really harmful relationships to fill this empty void within my heart. I became bulimic. I was violent and drunk at school to the point of suspensions. And my mom and I fought a lot. I had a lot of social workers come into the house. And once I left and, well, got kicked out of the house, my mom and I still agree to disagree on this point. But I said I was kicked out, but I think she thinks I just left. Life became so hopeless that once I tried to take my own life. And, that was just a horrible time in my life. But my mom really came through for me, and she was there for me through that. And I really could see that I do have things to live for, and my mom did really love me. And, but this abusive behavior in me still carried on until I was about 17. I was working at a snowboard and skate shop and thought this was the coolest thing around. I was one of the only girls who could really keep up with the guys snowboarding. And so I thought, I'm so cool. I work at the snow and skate shop. Everybody knows me. And so I really found identity within that job. It was far from perfect as well. And the owner sexually harassed me, and I ended up losing my job because I had told a fellow coworker about what had happened. And after this, I decided to go to the only place where I found peace and God, I guess. So I drove 4 hours to my aunt's house in the Rocky Mountains. I'm from Alberta. Alberta and Medicine Hat. So I drove to Lunbrook and Pincher Creek area where my aunt lives. But once I was there, I walked into a field. My uncle and aunt are ranchers. Yes, so Albertan of us. Anyways, so once I was there, I walked into a field and I just started crying out at God. And I was angry and I was just desperate to hear God and to know if he was, truly there for me. And I just felt like I was again at that place where I was at the end of my rope. Like if he didn't come through, I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't live another day without knowing that there was something to live for. And as I cried out to him, I heard his voice, and he said to me, "Sarah, everything will be okay. Just follow me." And I keep remembering that every second of every day today as well. And so I drove home, and I felt something new was going to happen in my life, something God was going to show up. God was going to, he was going to come through for me. Something was going to happen. And now the next part of the story is definitely probably not how God had envisioned it, but he worked through it nonetheless. So I returned back to my home, and I ended up dating a 21-year-old. I was 17. He and I had planned this future together that we're going to, once I graduated, I was in grade 11 at the time. So once I graduated grade 12, we would move to Edmonton, and I would attend an art college, and he would attend some trade college as well. And we started living together, and I just placed all my hope and all my future into this person because I felt like he was someone who I could rely on, and he was someone who I could depend on, and he would be there for me. And so in the summer, he ended up going to a Christian camp, and he ended up seeing someone else at the Christian camp and broke up with me. And so I thought he broke up with me because of God and because of Christianity. And so I have this truth in my life that I believe even today. And it's, if you love someone, you want to truly know what they're going through, and you truly want to understand them. And so a friend of mine took me to the church that he was going to, and I started to attend there frequently. And God really met me there. God, through the worship and through the praise and just through the people around me there, God just spoke to my heart more and more how he wanted to heal me from all these things in my life, from the people who had left to the way that I had tried to fill the empty voids. And he was telling me he wanted to make me whole and set me free. But I found it hard going to the church because the boy that I was dating was there. But one day, the pastor, she grabbed me and she asked me, "Sarah, do you want to go for him or do you want to go for God?" And I chose God. And it wasn't easy at first. I lived a very different life to the life that I now live. But a wise man once said to me that God is like this father that we run to, and we're covered in filth and we're disgusting, but we run to our father, and our father doesn't hold us back at a distance, but he embraces us and he helps wipe off that filth. And that's something that God has done in my life, and he's transformed me. And since then, I worked with my community back home as a camp and youth leader, and that was really amazing. I went halfway around the world to 9 different countries and served with Youth with a Mission. And now I attend Trinity Western University, and I'm hoping to be equipped as an educator to work internationally with people in poverty to help improve their life through education. So, I would not be where I am without God and his saving grace in my life. He has given my life purpose and meaning, and he's given me joy and in his unfailing love, his redeeming grace and eternal hope that I find through his son, Jesus. Life is still hard, but what gives me the most joy is knowing that God, that Christ walks with me every step of the way through the highs and the lows. And he is with me, and he'll never let me go.
Look at you, Sarah, it's not look at Sarah, it's look at Jesus. Look what he does through our lives. The other thing, it was interesting because Zeke had a moment where he had to choose. And Sarah, you described that same moment where you have to choose. Are you here for him, that guy, or are you here for God? And to make that choice, to make that step and to see what God does with it is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Good. David and Joanne, why don't you guys come up? Yay!
So we received strict instructions to only take 10 minutes. There's 101 years between us. 10 minutes for 101 years is going to be tough, but we will do our best to do that for you. Now, okay, so my name is Joanne. This is my husband, David. We have been attending Living Waters for 5 years now, and this is our story. I was saved as a small child. I grew up in a Christian home. At the age of 10, God touched me very powerfully. I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in other tongues. And that was an experience that was going to carry me through some very, very difficult times over the next couple of years. And I believe that's why God allowed me as such a young girl to experience him in such a powerful way. When I was 12, my parents who were involved in church leadership, they were the youth pastors at our church, they failed morally. And so our family was dismissed from the church. And from the age of 12 onwards, I never went anymore. I didn't know the details of what happened. And so for me, I blamed the church. I still believed in God. Nobody could tell me that God wasn't real because I'd experienced him in a very powerful way. But I really did not like the church very much. I blamed the people of the church for what had happened in my family. While I was away from church community, I met David. We were in high school. I was 16 and he was 18. And we started dating. Early on in the relationship, there was a question that I asked him that was extremely important to me. And if he'd have said no, I would not have continued on in the relationship. The question that I asked him was, do you believe in God? And he said yes. And for me, at that time and that level of maturity in my life, that was enough for me. I knew the verse, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so I felt that that was enough, that he believed in God, so that was okay.
I did believe in God. I knew God existed. I was kind of open to God in general. And in England, growing up in the 60s and 70s, there was a cultural part of that at school and assembly, saying grace before meals, christenings for children and marriages, attended church. It was kind of there, but I certainly didn't have a personal experience with Jesus and didn't understand the need or the necessity for that. So growing up, I grew up in a what we call a non-churched family. Mom and Dad never really talked about it at all, but high days and holidays were the days that you went to church. Thinking back now, God was pursuing me even then. So whether it was through me taking myself off to Sunday school or taking myself off to the church choir of all things or being involved in scouts, that type of thing, we always ended up back at the church. And so I think he was speaking to me. I was blind to him. I was deaf to what he was saying to me. But I think that he certainly was pursuing me. And as Joanne said, we met at school. And I was given a choice. We talk about God moments. And I don't know how much of a God moment this is. But there were two girls, similar, smiling, dark-haired beauties. One was a religious nut. And one had a nice bum. So I chose the one with a nice bum there. Yeah, that of course has significant later when God has the last laugh and turns my nice bum into a religious nut too. So,
oh, it was in a win-win, hey? So we got married. I was 19 and David was 20, just shy of 21, so we were pretty young. And the following year, we came out to Canada on a vacation. My family had had emigrated a few years before, and during that time, my mum had rededicated her life to the Lord. And so she made me promise before I went that I would go to church with her. And so that's what happened. I went to church with her, and right from the very first chorus, I began to weep and weep and weep. I hadn't been in church since my family's breakup. And so for me, it was just an incredible moment. It was just like I was coming home. And so I gave my heart back to Jesus that day. Getting emotional. went back to England, and obviously everything had changed. All of a sudden, here I was, Christian girl with a non-Christian husband. It wasn't easy, I'll be honest with you. I returned to the church of my childhood, and God did just an incredible work of restoration and healing in my heart. I didn't want to do this. Then we had Luke. And I was really blessed to have a husband who was okay with me taking him to church. So we would trot off to church every Sunday, and that was good. During those years, there was lots of prayer. There was bedtime prayer for Daddy and prayer with... I don't know why I'm crying. Sorry. Prayer with people like Connie Kennedy, who was one of my girls in Sunday school. We would pray. The youth that I was involved with, like, God was just really cool at bringing people into my life to support me and pray with me through those years. So I'll let him take it up.
So all of a sudden, I'm faced with a changed person. And she was a changed person. She was, I mean, always just a wonderful young woman. Now there was something different about her. And as she said... off to church she would go, off to play soccer and go to the pub I would go. And a lot of our life at that time was kind of apart. I mean, there was no social settings where we were both on the same page. It was kind of an odd situation. But once again, I didn't feel compelled to stop them going. I didn't feel compelled. They were going to a good place. I didn't know what they were doing. As in, I didn't know what they were pursuing and how that was working out. But I didn't feel compelled to stop them. We had some rocky times, and there were things that, you know, shouldn't have happened but did, that sort of thing. I don't know whether I felt God during that time pursuing me, but occasionally Joanne would, you know, in a forceful way, and that just pushed me away. The better witness for me was just watching her life, watching how she lived her life, watching how Luke was growing up, a young Christian man, some of the things that... that I heard about him standing up for his belief at school when asked to perform in a play that just wasn't on the same page as he was. So a wonderful thing. And that went a long way to say that I was with a family that was godly, but I still didn't understand what that was all about. 2003, we'll fast forward, and God really started to soften my heart. I can only describe it as... a crusty heart being sort of chipped and chiseled away, and a softening about people. Joanne and Luke went away on a school trip for 3 weeks to Europe, and I missed them like crazy. It was incredible. And when they came back, I knew something had changed. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew something had changed. And I just became softer and softer and softer, right up until February 2004, when I agreed to go and watch The Passion of the Christ with my wife. I'd heard that it was going to be a violent and disturbing movie, and I wanted to go to support her. Little did I know that as Jesus rose, I realized that he died for me. That moment, Leanne talked last week about a God moment. That was my God moment. I have to remember, even though I talk about it and we shared about it over the years, that is my God moment. That was the moment God said, this is what I've done for you. And we went home from the movie, and Joanne led me in a prayer, and I gave my life to Jesus that day.
Yeah.
Don't stop trying to get... I've got 3 minutes.
I'm not going to cry now. I'm good. So, wow is the right word. It had been close to 22 years that I'd been waiting, and just so incredible to see what God did. I watched my husband right before my eyes be transformed. He did an absolute 180-degree turnaround, and it's just been amazing and incredible. But of course, this meant new things, like all of a sudden, new opportunities, new doors would be open, and God began to really stir in my heart. A year later, I found myself driving up the hill to Summit Pacific College, which is a Bible college, to start a 4-year degree in religious studies. And so, you know, I gave up my job at the bank and pursued what God had for me as an individual, as a woman, but also as a wife. And so I went and studied at Summit for 4 years. There were times when I would be in chapel there and I would just literally be pinching myself because I was like, this is just incredible. How come I'm here? Like it was amazing. Finished my degree and God just opened doors. He just gave me the opportunity to work in the Omega program. Many of you know the Omegas from the work that they do here with the Sunday school during the school year. So I worked with them for a year. And then I got the opportunity to take the position as the Dean of Women at Summit, and that's what I'm doing right now. So full-time ministry, I'm a pastor, just absolutely overwhelmed and in awe of what God has done. If someone had told me 10 years ago that David and I would be stood here sharing this story with you and what God has done, I would have just been like, you've got to be kidding. There's no way. And I think the thing that has really hit me the most is that God never stops surprising us and amazing us. Because for me, I'd been praying for 22 years for my husband to come to know Jesus. And that was kind of the goal. That's what I looked towards. That was my what I was aiming for. But in all honesty, I was so concentrating on that, which of course you would be, that I didn't even think about the possibilities of what God would do afterwards. And it's just incredible to me what God has done in the last 8 years. And I just wonder at it. And then I'm looking at the future, like if what God has done so far, like what's he going to do next? It's just so exciting.
The other thing that changed when I got saved was our marriage. So what was we'll describe it as an okay marriage before, together and all that sort of stuff, and highs and lows. Marriage transformation. Some of you may know that we look after the young marrieds here with the home group, and we also do some premarital counseling. And our marriage restarted. We rededicated ourselves to each other with our vows on our 25th wedding anniversary. And we've been married 30 years now, and we are learning things now that we should have known 30 years ago. And that's only because what God has done in our lives. We are now off the same page. I've been reading a book recently that's reminded me that marriage is actually an incredible testing ground for us as Christians. We are met with what it means to love, to forgive, to bless, to encourage, and all those things. And we are living that right now. And I'm just blown away by how that has transformed our lives. On top of that, I lost a job very soon after I got saved. I don't know. I hope one day I find out if that has anything to do with the fact that I became a Christian. But the new job, even though it looked rocky at the start, has given me time at the weekends and evenings to do the things I'm doing now. And I'm involved with the boys at Summit playing soccer. I'm involved at the church here in various things. And again, like Joanne said, that's 8 years gone by. What's going to happen in the next however many years? Thanks very much.
There's tears because it's real, right? It's real. Just thinking about story. What's your story? What is God wanting to write in you? What is he wanting to demonstrate? What is he wanting to take you into? What is he wanting to express about himself through your life? Yeah, this is my honey.
Just feel like this morning that there are some of you in the room here who are hungry to have an encounter or a God moment like that. And before we go, we're just going to pray for that encounter. And just was reading in the book of Matthew that if you ask, God will answer. And so we're going to bow our heads and pray. And for you to just pray along. And if you've had a God moment, the other thing that I want to invite you to pray for is to pray for an openness to be that instrument of God in the lives of others, whether to live out your faith like Joanne and Luke were doing, or to be a listening ear for when God whispers and says, what about this? What about that? So let's pray. God, we just ask that you would meet us right where we're at. That you would look at our situations, our families, our hearts, and that you would speak directly. For those who are hungering for a God moment, Jesus, intercept their lives. Speak your words of life and truth right in. And God, for us as a church community, as a family, as members of your family, Lord, help us to be open to what you would whisper in our ear about the relationships that we're in, the friendships that we have, that we would be open to being used by you to share your story with others. Thank you for this, Jesus.